Right on. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Hipschman, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. And today we have a new podcast and we're all about hydration. We're talking about water, H2O, the life source of all things. And we're going to discuss as many topics as we can around hydration, dehydration, water, and all the benefits and things that come with it. So I hope you enjoy this next episode of Mountain Man Nutrition. All right, we're back with Mountain Man Nutrition. And again, we're talking about water and hydration and all things involved in that. Last year, back August 26th, I published an episode. I think it was episode number 18 with Nevin Eckert. I called him the water guy. And he was a whole house water treatment system guy, under the sink water treatment system guy. And he'd really done a lot of research and was extremely knowledgeable on like water and consuming it and what it does in your body and different things like that. So it's a great episode last year, but I thought I would talk about some nutritional therapy stuff with water. So on this episode, but go out and check out episode number 18 of Mountain Man Nutrition from last year, August 26th, and listen to that episode because it's extremely interesting and the guy is extremely knowledgeable. So I really recommend that. But water in regards with nutrition is gold, right? Because water is actually 60% of our body is made up of water, okay? And it's like the most universal solvent. So everything floats around and everything is moved around using water. It hydrates. And we use it on a universal level, you know, no matter what our body is doing, we're using it on a high level. So like most of our functions, our digestive system, our urinary system, our cardiovascular system, you know, absolutely rely on water. And all our lymph system, you know, all these systems do not function properly without proper hydration. You know, our organs, you know, our pancreas, our liver, our heart, even our brain, like they don't function properly without the proper hydration. So it's extremely important to do this. It's every function, circulation, digestion, absorption, elimination of wastes, and on and on and on, all, you know, use water. So it is, I can't stress it enough as a nutritional therapist, right? Because consider that like the protein in our body, which you think would be extremely high, you know, because we're all muscle and this and that, it's only 18%, you know, of our body. And you know, fat, depending on, you know, how in shape or out of shape we are, you know, it's 15% on average human being, you know? So when we're talking about 60%, of our body is water, that's huge, you know, and it's the most important nutrient in the body, period. You know, you can go, you know, 30 days or longer, depending on how much fat you have on your body, without actually eating, you know, and we can talk about fasting later, but you can't go over like 3 days without drinking more water. And that's how vital it is to the body and to our systems. So it's you can't lose weight. For those of you that are big weight loss people, you can't lose weight without consuming a bunch of water. It just makes everything flow. And interesting enough is like it's not like we store water. We don't store water. Well, there's no like place in our body. Our cells aren't storing water to use later, right? Our cells use water. You know, our body uses water all the time. And the water that's in your body is being used. It's being utilized. It's serving a function at all times. So it's not like it's just sitting there waiting to be used later, or like when we you know, don't have enough, we can pull it from somewhere else. It's not the case. It's not something we store. So we have to be consuming it every day. So people, clients, you know, most of them always think they're getting enough water, but none of them are. You know, and we talk about this all the time. You know, they you know, I drink a glass of water at every meal, you know, which isn't really what you want to do anyway, but you want to be drinking outside of your meals, sipping it all the time and not drinking necessarily while with your meal, because you're diluting your stomach acid. So you don't want to do that. But if you want to divide your body weight in pounds by 2 and then convert that to ounces, and that's how many ounces of water you really need a day. You know, I need about 3.5 liters, you know, or 120, 118 ounces, something like that. Now, that's not including if you're drinking a diuretic. Well, what is a diuretic? Well, diuretic is going to be a coffee, most teas, sugary drinks, alcohol, things of this nature. Because, well, it's got water in it, you would say. Yeah, but it's not usable. The sugar and the diuretic component doesn't make it work properly in your body, and it's not necessarily usable. Yeah, because it's more of a dehydrator. It's gonna make you pee more. So you can't drink coffee and think you're getting your water. It just doesn't work on that level. So, well, what happens if you're drinking, you know, let's say you're supposed to be drinking 115 ounces of water a day, and you're doing that, but you're drinking, you know, 6 cups of water a day, or 6 cups of coffee a day. Well, what are we doing then? Well, the calculation is pretty simple. If you drink an 8 ounce glass of water, of coffee or tea or a diuretic, you want to drink about 1.5 times that. So 8 ounce cup of coffee, you want to drink about 12 ounces of water. And I always talk about, like, hey, I got my coffee right here and I got my water. So I drink them both together. I'm sipping them on my water and I'm drinking my coffee at the same time. So you gotta remember to utilize that water while you're drinking that tea, or while you're drinking that coffee, or while you, God forbid, you're drinking orange juice for some crazy reason that is beknownst to me, other than unless you want diabetes. But if you're drinking like sugary fruit drinks, you want to drink water right along with it, right? And that's just key to this water and diuretics thing. So again, remember, just to go over again, if you take your body weight and you half it, divide it by 2 and convert it to ounces, this is your calculated ounces of water you want to be drinking every day. And then whatever, how many ounces of diuretic you're drinking, you want to add half to that and drink 1.5 times as much. So 8 ounces of coffee means 12 ounces of water. So make sure you're doing that. Yeah. So what else about water is super important? Well, it's got so many different functions and roles. And people, of course, know that, hey, it helps remove waste, or, it lubricates the joints. But it also, water improves the oxygen delivery to the cells. Like, you know, cells have to have oxygen, and they utilize this oxygen in every single cell. And so it's delivering, water is helping deliver that oxygen to every one of your cells. You know, it transports your minerals and your vitamins in your bloodstream and around your body. That the minerals are in the water that's moving around to location to location where it needs to go. And water does that. It makes sure your cells are hydrated, because when each little individual cell is dehydrated, it can't function properly. So it's extremely important that every little cell is hydrated and has enough water for it to do the work it needs to do, right? Interesting enough, it's water's in your lungs and it's hydrating, moistening your oxygen so your lungs can utilize it. And it makes breathing easier and more efficient. Obviously, water in your joints that's going to cushion your bones and your joints, and it's going to absorb shock in the joints more. It's going to make your organs more fluid. Interesting enough, I didn't know this, it helps regulate your body temperature. Water regulates your body temperature. It helps, obviously, your liver and your gallbladder and your digestive system to flush the toxins out of your body. I mean, if you don't want to get rid of any toxins, which is a natural process of the body to flush toxins, it's a natural process. But how do you stop that process? You don't drink enough water. You don't put enough water into your system, and you're gonna be holding on to stuff that your body needs and wants to get rid of. It prevents tissue from sticking together and not moving around like it's supposed to. It improves cell-to-cell communication. You know, your cells are always talking to each other, and it has to go through. It does this more efficiently with plenty of water. You know, you have electricity running through your body at all times. Your body's an energy system, and the water is a great conductor for that electricity. It needs to move around those electrical properties throughout your body. And guess what? Water does that. And then, of course, your body can't heal properly. And this is super, super important. Your body can't heal properly if it doesn't have the magic gold, the nectar of life, at an efficient level. It's just not going to work on a high optimal level. If the water's not there. So if you're really trying to heal your body, then you really need to have enough water in your system, right? And that's basic science. And I simplified all of it, and we can go into probably a podcast in detail about every single one of those, but obviously we're not going to do that. So right now, with that, we're going to take a quick break and get right back in a few minutes. All right, so we're back, and I don't know if you heard the big crash in the background there, but I have a 9-year-old, Ayana, beautiful 9-year-old who knows better than to sit back and lean the four-legged chair back onto two legs. And there was a huge crash because she dumped, as will happen when a 9-year-old decides to lean back. And so there was a huge crash, and I had to run up there. And then there was the crying in the, mark on the back. And she's fine and super good. And she learned a good lesson, which is also a lesson that I have learned in my past is also, I've dumped, and it's not fun. Sometimes we have to learn by mistakes. All right. So interesting enough, we're back on the podcast, and we were talking about water and the nutrient goldness of water and hydration. But I want to take this minute to talk about the anti-water, the devil incarnate of water. And I'm talking about soda, and we talked a little bit about fruit juice, which is, at least fruit juice has some vitamins in it, right? It's a huge sugar blast and terrible for your liver and your blood sugar and your insulin. And, but at least you're getting, some vitamins in it. And I totally recommend you never drink any kind of fruit juice. It's so bad for you. And a coffee, at least it has some, it's got some caffeine in moderation, is good for you. And it's got some polyphenols, which are great for you. And tea, obviously tea has been used for, forever, in healing processes and, natural nutrients. And, it's a wonderful thing to add to your diet, but diet soda, Soda is obviously the worst thing that you can ever consume in liquid form on any level. You know, the sugar in it, or in diet soda, the fake sugar, you know, that there's absolutely zero nutrients in it. And you can't utilize the water in the soda very well. And actually, diet soda makes you more hungry. It's diet, you know, soda, which is a horrible word. But it you know, the fake sugar in there actually makes you crave carbohydrates on a higher level. And people who consistently drink soda, diet soda, consistently gain weight because they're more hungry more often, and they want, you know, and the addictive property of soda is horrifying. You know, for someone who's dealt a lot and been in the realm of addiction a lot, soda is really, really addicting. Diet soda is horribly addicting, and it's really difficult for people to get off of it. And the research done on the diet soda, like, pilots are not supposed to drink diet soda, you know, because it can actually, too much of it can actually do some, you know, hallucination type things to your brain. And really, really, there's, again, I can't believe that we can still serve it, you know, in America today. But people are addicted to it, and people love it, and you can't take away my big gulp, you know. So, you know, that's people's choice. But to be informed about how horrible it is for you, hopefully people will understand, if not now, down the road, just how bad the nutrient value in it, which is zero, you know, is not good. The phosphoric acid in soda, it really destroys your HCl production, which means you can't digest other food. You know, it's been known to really stop or inhibit calcium absorption, and calcium's extremely important in your body. You know, you need to absorb your calcium, and the only way you can absorb calcium is with a high amount of hydrochloric acid, right? And this is a whole nother topic when we're talking about, you know, women and people needing calcium. There's only a couple reasons why people can't get enough calcium. Most people have enough calcium in their body, but they don't have enough other minerals, or they don't have enough hydration, or there's other issues that stop people from being able to utilize that calcium. And one of those is not enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach to be able to absorb the calcium that we're eating. You know, because Americans really get enough calcium. They just can't, they're not being able to utilize it because of other issues, other cofactors. The sugar, whether the fake sugar also impacts your insulin. The real sugar in regular soda impacts your insulin. You know, it spikes your sugar, and then your pancreas reacts to that and spikes your insulin. And here you go on the roller coaster ride of up and down sugar and insulin, and glycemic, the hyperglycemic, the hypoglycemic, you know, and just issue after issue. While aspartame is had, which is a fake sugar in diet sodas, is like 92 different side effects. You know, it's horrible. And I don't have the study in front of me, but I've read a couple studies about aspartame and diet soda. And again, it's not a healthy thing to put into your body. And so, again, it's the anti-nutrient, I think. It's not only no nutrient in soda. There's nothing good for you in there. It's actually terrible. It's not like there's some good stuff and then there's some bad stuff. It's like there's no good stuff at all, and there's all bad stuff, you know. And so it can really lead to dehydration as well, is because you're drinking all this soda, and you drink a big gulp, and you stop, and you get another big gulp, and you get, you know, and you have a big gulp for dinner, and you've had no water, and so now you're dehydrated, because it's a dehydration technique is to drink a bunch of soda, right? And so what happens? It's interesting. It only takes about 2% lack of water to start the dehydration process. You know, you're really dehydrated after you haven't had, you know, 2% of the water that you're supposed to have, you know, and that causes fatigue. You know, if you wonder why you're always tired, and this could be a million issues, but one of the first steps of not being tired is drink a bunch of water, you know, because it will help with your fatigue. You know, digestive issues really come into play when you're dehydrated. You know, because again, you cannot digest food when you are dehydrated. And I'm not talking about drinking a bunch of water while you're eating your meal. That's not really effective either. But sipping on water throughout the day while you're not eating is effective. You know, guess what? Your cardiovascular system, you really need it for your heart and for your blood vessels and for your blood moving through your, you know, your system. It's extremely important, and it does not work and causes significant health problems to your cardiovascular system if you're chronically dehydrated. Your immune system takes a hit. You know, your immune system can't function. Guess what? You know, if you sprain your ankle and your ankle swells up a little bit, there's a reason for that. And that's so the things that need to get in there to repair that ankle can go through that fluid and make it easier to get to that area. So inflammation, swollen ankle, or, you know, you get a cut or you have to fight a bacteria and get some inflammation. Like some balanced inflammation like this is extremely important and absolutely necessary. But, you know, the water in your body causes that inflammation. And you need that liquid in there. And if you don't have proper hydration, it's going to be difficult for your body to get in there and swell up so it can and get the nutrients and the things in there it needs to get in there to repair your body. So if you're chronically dehydrated, your immune system can't work properly and can't function properly. And then, you know, like your muscles when you're lifting weights or just walking around the day, to make sure your muscles are working properly together, you know, takes a lot of hydration, you know, and you're dehydrated. Your muscles can't work properly and get cramps and it gets hurt and they can't grow and repair themselves and they can't function on a healthy level. So, you know, it's really it just a little bit of dehydration really causes lots of problems. So the question is, well, what does it look like to be dehydrated? Well, it looks like some early signs would be like you start getting a headache. Or you get fatigue, right? A lot of people don't understand. They don't need to take that Tylenol or that pill all the time when they get a headache. Maybe just the water, start sipping on water will help you not get that headache. You know, anxiety. People get anxiety when they're dehydrated. Irritability, you're grumpy. You know, depression if you're chronically depressed. You know, this can be a sign of early dehydration, cravings, you know, certainly cravings, not only for water, but for food, if you're dehydrated. And then cramps, you know, people get a lot of cramps. And they think it's maybe a magnesium problem, which it is, but you're also not getting your water. You know, you got to have that water and magnesium and calcium and all your minerals. They work in balance together. You know, if you drink a lot of water, it could deplete your electrolytes if you're not getting your electrolytes. So it's a balanced symbiotic relationship with your minerals. So you want to have your minerals and your water, right? So older signs like mature signs that maybe you're dehydrated, colitis, you know, digestive issues, constipation. Easy fix for that is a lot of times people are just dehydrated. They don't have gut problems. They're just dehydrated. So they get constipated. Fibromyalgia has actually been related to, chronic dehydration. Obviously not just the headaches, but major migraines, could be from, chronic dehydration, back pain, joint pain, things like this. Also heartburn. You know, getting heartburn has been linked to a sign of dehydration. So it's really, really, I can't even stress it how much you need to eat or drink. And just the key is really, I mean, you could fill up your bottle, you know, and just know, measure it out and like, okay, I need to drink 5 of these a day. And then you fill it up your water bottle. My whole family has a water bottle. Everybody has their own. and everybody carries it around. If we go in the car, like, everybody's got their water bottle, you know, or me and my wife sometimes split one and we refill it, you know, but Ayana's got one and we give Max a bottle and, you know, we all have a water bottle and we sip it and then we fill it back up and then we keep sipping. And anytime we go on a trip or go to the store or go somewhere together, we always have our water bottle and then we have our water bottles around the house, you know, and everybody is just taught to sip on their water, you know, throughout the day, keep drinking it. And it's extremely important. It's a great habit to get in, especially, hey, we're in Denver, Colorado here. I don't know where you are listening, but, you know, the higher elevation, you need even more water. You know, we're in a high desert here. It's a desert, so it's super dry, and which you basically need more and more and more water from that, because of you know you don't want to become dehydrated because you're at a higher elevation, right? So just to review a little bit, you know, too much coffee is going to dehydrate you. Too much tea is going to dehydrate you. Soda's horrible for you. Fruit juices and fruit drinks are horrible for you. Hey, guess what? Alcohol, guys, is going to dehydrate you too. So you don't want to do that. And make sure you're drinking your water, you know, sipping it throughout the day. And make sure you're taking your electrolytes with it. Right, you want to make sure you're getting your minerals along with it. I tell everybody just do an unrefined salt. You know, when you're eating table salt, like all that white salt that you know you get in a little iodized box or whatever, the stuff's not that great for you. And the doctors have been telling you that for years, but for different reasons, right? The idea is it's not that salt's bad for you, but very few percent, maybe 1 or 2% of the population, salt, sodium actually causes like high blood pressure, right? It's very low in the population. And salt is absolutely good for you and necessary, but you need to be a high quality salt. So when you eat this unrefined salt, it causes imbalance because you have to have the water, you have to have the sodium, you have to have the magnesium, the calcium, and these other minerals, these cofactors all working together in balance, right? And when you're just eating high amounts of regular sodium, you're imbalanced, right? And that's why processed foods are so horrible for you because they have tons of crappy or very refined salt, in them, and it's high amounts of refined salt, so it's just not that good for you. Yeah, because it's not that it's because of the sodium intake, it's because of too much and not enough, right? So it's too much sodium and not enough magnesium and not enough calcium and not enough water, all working in symbiotic relationship together. So that's why you get imbalance. That's why, you know, when you buy salt, you buy like gray French salt or Hawaiian black, red, orange, yellow salt, Himalayan pink sea salt, or Himalayan pink salt, you know, some kind of color, unrefined, awesome mineral contented salt, you know, and really the Himalayan pink salt, sea salt is so available anymore. I love to go to, TJ Maxx because they always have these cool salts, for super cheap because all these like experimental products or whatever the reason why they have it there is extremely inexpensive. So you can get like 2 pounds of like unrefined Himalayan salt for like $4. You know, it's super cheap instead of going to the, and it's the same salt as everywhere else, you know, or the, you know, the good quality salt. And then you'll find some gray salt there or some Hawaiian salt or something like that every now and again. So a little tidbit for you there. Sometimes we get ours there. So moving on from there is, you really need, you know, like your kidneys working and, you know, water, working with your two kidneys, your bladder, urethra, you know, like all this is extremely important when working and drinking water. You have to take this into consideration, you know, because you want to flush everything out of your body and your kidneys are doing this for you. You know, they're helping that, you know, the kidneys do most of the work inside the your urinary system. And if you don't have enough water, if they're not hydrated, they're not helping you filter blood or remove cellular waste, or you know, getting rid of I you know, yellow food coloring 5 or whatever, you know, your kidneys can't filter that stuff out, without, you know, having enough hydration. So they don't work properly, without hydration. It's one of those organs that, is just completely, is regulated, by water. You know what I mean? If you have tons of the diuretics, your kidneys aren't going to work properly. Yeah. So kidneys are also regulated, blood volume by, conserving or eliminating water. You know what I mean? The kidneys regulate, you know, how much blood you have in your system. It's got a simple balance there. So it'll get rid of more, water or keep more water based on what your needs are. You know, when fat metabolizes and is used for energy, you know, some of it is turned into carbon monoxide and exhaled, and some of it is turned into water and we urinate it out. So that process is stopped by not being hydrated, you know. So having hydration for the kidneys, which are super, super important, are, you know, is key. So, you know, are you getting kidney stones? Do you have bladder infections? Do you have leaky bladder? Or, you know, does your kidneys need support? Do you need supplements? Have you been chronically dehydrated so long that your kidneys can't come back on track without some, like, high doses of really healthy nutrients to support that? And that's a question that your nutritional therapist practitioner will look at. You know, it's like a detective system. I'm a detective. And so, you know, if I understand and find out that you've been chronically dehydrated or dehydrated when you come into my office, you know, one of the first things I'm going to do is a functional evaluation of your kidneys and look at your hydration and start some kind of protocol to get you back online, you know, and get your kidneys functioning at a high level, because it's extremely, extremely important that we do this. So, you know, we talked a little bit about water systems and, you know, filtered water and, you know, things like that. In that last podcast, you know, I like the bottled water is a little iffy, because you just, you know, a lot of bottled waters are just sink water, you know, or maybe they run it through a regular filter system and then they bottle it. You have to really know where you're getting your bottled water. Is it in a plastic bottle? Is it in a glass bottle? Is it coming from a spring? Are they filtering that spring? Because that doesn't work, right? You want those minerals in there. But, you know, what's your water treatment system in your home or under your sink or the pitcher that you're putting in? You know, I highly recommend you do some more research on the quality of water that you're drinking, you know, because you want those minerals in your drinking water, but you don't necessarily want the chlorine, of course, or the iodine or whatever else the, you know, people are putting in your water. God forbid there's lead pipes, you know, in your city or something like that, you know, horrifying as that is. You know, really pay attention to the quality of water that you're getting, and make sure your filters, if you have filters, are changed regularly, and spend the extra money because it's worth it. And then, you know, like, the water softeners for the whole house, man, I love that silky feeling in the shower, you know, from the water and the soap. And because what happens, guys, is when you have minerals in your water, if you have hard water, and I love soft water, not for drinking, of course, but for bathing, the soap and the minerals kind of stick together and go into your pores, and you feel, you know, a little dry, or, you know, you just feel what maybe regular, unless you're in a, you know, you have a filter system, a whole house filter system, and then you use soap, and then for some reason you feel kind of slick and smooth, and, you know, that's because there's no minerals to stick to the soap and to go into your pores, so the natural oils in your skin are allowed to come out, and it's really a great feeling. And, you know, if you have really bad eczema, besides the dietary component to eczema, which is very prevalent. It might be a factor of just, you know, getting a whole house water treatment system and using soft water. So, you know, a lot of people get cured just by using soft water in the shower and some soap and, you know, allowing your body to have those natural oils come out. And, you know, it takes a little while for that healing process to happen, but it can certainly happen, you know, to get your body back to normal. Maybe that soft water could help. Yeah. So that is our hydration, our water conversation for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, go back and listen to episode number 18. And we will be back with you next Friday, because I publish on Fridays now. Every week on Friday, I'm making the commitment to having a guest or me talking about some extremely important fact of nutritional therapy, or being a cooking or vitamins or whatever the topic happens to be. So I hope you enjoyed it. Stay hydrated, and good wishes to you all. Have a great day. Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter. Wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it. Because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it, or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you. Right on. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition. I'm your host, Jeffrey Hipschman. I'm a professional chef and nutritional therapist practitioner, focusing here in Denver, Colorado, but also utilizing technology to bring coaching and blood sugar regulation over the internet to anybody who needs it, and utilizing this podcast to benefit as many people as possible. With that being said, I want to say thank you for your time and attention. I really understand how valuable your time is, and to consume a podcast, 30-minute long or an hour long, it's a lot for some people, and I really appreciate it, because there's a million podcasts, and you have a million different interests that you could listen to, focus on. So really, I understand that picking my podcast and taking the time to listen to it is a big step for you, and it's time, and it's valuable. And again, thank you for listening to this podcast. And if you know anybody who can benefit from reversing type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, or any of the multiple subjects about nutrition that we talk about here on Mountain Man Nutrition, pass it along. Share it with somebody. Give them the benefit of nutritional therapy in their life through this podcast, and it'll be a great gift for someone who can benefit from it. So I want to talk a little bit about how this podcast will go. We're going to talk about and focus on carbohydrates and addiction, carbohydrate or food addiction. We're going to talk a little bit about leafy greens, vegetables, starchy vegetables, sugars, processed food, and kind of go through a little bit about how these affect our body and what we're doing with them, and how they affect our brain, and of course how they affect our food and or sugar addiction. So we're going to get right into that when we come back from this little break. All right, so we're talking about carbohydrates today, and I just want to just say that when we're talking about food, like, everybody is bio-individual, right? You've heard this buzzword, and it's true. Like, the way I process or handle carbohydrates is completely different than the way you may process or handle carbohydrates, right? So when we're listening to this podcast, I want you to come from the standpoint of reversing type 2 diabetes, reversing insulin resistance, and from the standpoint of someone who has food addiction, right? Because I am more precisely, I'm a carbohydrate addict, right? I'm a sugar addict. My carbs turn into sugar in your body, and that's what you crave, right? Nobody is, and I'm certainly not like binging on broccoli, right? Nobody's binging on spinach. I don't go from grocery store to grocery store eating different types of spinach, right? There's so low sugar or carbohydrates in spinach, it doesn't matter. What we binge is we binge on pizza, pasta, bread, cakes, sugar, processed food, fast food, things like that, right? Why? High carbohydrate, high sugar stuff. And that's what our body craves. So when I'm talking in this about the carbohydrates or about addiction, if you, you know, have never had an addiction or never come from, you know, obsessive compulsive habitual like disorder like that, you might not get it. And that's okay. You don't have to get it. You know, this just particular isn't for you. And you just, one thing like people always say is like, well, just put it down or stop eating it, or you know, don't take that drink. Well, that just, it makes sense to you because you don't have an addiction. But coming from someone who has an addiction, it makes complete sense that why you can't put it down. And again, it is this, it's all about our mind in this habitual obsessive compulsive, like drink, 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 eat, 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 you know, and it comes out sometimes as, hey, you are unlovable, you're terrible, you're not a good person, you need to eat. You know, hey, you failed, you need to eat. Hey, you know, your brain's telling you, you're just not good enough, you should eat something. And, or because the mind is a tricky, tricky thing, it could say, hey, you're awesome, you should celebrate, let's have a cake. You know, or you did such a great job there, you deserve your favorite Taco Bell sandwich, you know, taco. You know, that type of habitual mind play is very prevalent. And if this happens to you, you really understand it and you know it. So, you know, food addiction and sugar addiction, it comes right from the mind. The brain does what it does. Like, it's an organ that just thinks, right? It's supposed to, and it's constantly thinking and talking. If you don't think so, just try to quiet your mind, you know, for 5 minutes and see how many different things your brain, your mind comes up with in just 5 minutes. It'll go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's just, that's what it's supposed to do, right? It's a brain. It loves to get into projects, into problem solving, or to just coming up with things that you already, this constant thing that's, it's always talked about the same thing forever since we were kids, right? It's like the heart. It tried to make it stop beating on purpose, right? It's an organ. It just beats. That's what it does. The brain thinks, and that's what it does. And the brain will think about what it learned, you know, in the past. You know, how was your environment? What did you learn as a kid? What did we make up? You know, we got messages from our environment, and we made up messages. Like, for instance, I made up that I was unlovable. I made up that I was not good enough. I made up a lot of different things like that. And in different ways, my mind still today will come up with ways to say that, you know. And it's just a habitual thing that it does. Now, I understand that. I've done my core work. I've journaled, you know, and I understand this conversation, and I meditate so I can become present to it really quickly. So I have some combat against it, right? So I don't have to believe these stories that I made up or the stories that my brain says, right? And this is really linked with food addiction. You know, what our brain is telling us habitually really coincides with our behavior, right? Because we actually believe it. We think what our brain is telling us is true, and then we act accordingly, right? Instead of being present and going, ah, that's not true. I don't need to do that. Or I don't need, you know, of course I'm good enough. You know, I'm loved by my whole family, you know, so I don't need to have that piece of cake to make myself feel better about myself, right? Or, and some of you will really understand this, I don't have to have that piece of cake to not feel bad, right? Because this is how the mind works is, or addiction works, is some people will eat to feel good, and some people will eat to not feel bad. And it's a huge difference, and it's a huge motivation. And I really hope that if you're tackling this food addiction, this carbohydrate addiction or alcohol addiction or whatever your issue is, that you journal enough to really understand the distinct difference in which one is you. Because you're going to come at it at a couple different ways, depending on which, you know, which issue you have. If you're trying to feel good all the time, or if you're just simply not trying to feel bad, right? You want to feel nothing. So this is a deep conversation, and you know, it could be scary for some, but it's I think it's important, especially if you've you know, tried low carb and or ketogenic diet, or you know, you've lost a bunch of weight, seen some success, but then you just keep going back and falling off the wagon for a month and eating horrible in fast food binges or carbohydrate binges and things like that. And let me tell you, it can happen, and it happened it's easily, because let me tell you, for my personal existence, my story, like several months ago, I was pretty stagnant. Like I was eating healthy, I was really in the gym, and I was doing great, and I got stagnant for like 3 months. Right? Like when I say stagnant, I mean no weight loss. I felt great. I had tons of energy. I'm cruising along. But because I still have, you know, plenty more weight I want to lose, although I'm not on the scale, but I just want to lose this weight. I want my clothes to fit better. I want to go down even more sizes. I had some questions, and I got an answer. Well, maybe the sweet spot, you should up your carbs a little bit, because I've been around 20 grams of carbs for a couple of years, and I stagnated. And so maybe I should up my carbs between 50 and 100. Okay, and that's the weight loss kind of groove, right? A lot of people can like get into that groove, and maybe they're in and out of ketosis, but they're still low carb, because under 100 grams is still pretty low, and it's not so restrictive. But it triggered me to have even more and more and more carbs, right? So you start out getting 50, 60, 70, and pretty soon I'm eating 150, 200, 250 grams of carbs subconsciously, unconsciously, just eating more and more. And this can come from like nuts, even like low glycemic vegetables, sweet potatoes, like, you know, it starts out innocent. I'm just trying to really track my carbs and eat a little bit more, but now I'm off the wagon. I'm off to the races, and, wow, my carbohydrate, cravings are off the hook, you know, and now I'm really craving bread, and I'm craving pasta, and I'm craving, and I haven't felt that way in a long, long time. But innocently, and trying to do the best thing for myself, I triggered myself to go through this because I upped it too much, right? Even at 75, 80 grams of carbs, which in general is pretty low, triggers me to want even more and more and more. Now, this is true carbohydrate sugar addiction. Why Even at that low amount, 80 grams of carbs, does it trigger me to want more and more and more, and trigger me to want fast food, and trigger me to want cakes and donuts and all this crap that I stayed away from for so long? And that's because of the brain. You get a little bit of taste of it, and it wants more and wants more. And it doesn't matter how long, you know, you've been healthy, it's just, that's just how the brain works. It's like an alcoholic that's had 30 years sober. Like when they have one beer, it's off to the races, you know? And, it's how it works. The brain doesn't forget. The brain, you know, wants that sugar after, you know, it felt so good, even though you feel horrible. You wake up in the morning and you're miserable and you're sore and you don't have that brain power you had. And you're like, oh, this is terrible. But then like an hour later, you know, you're used to not eating until 1-2 o'clock, but you're hungry at 9 o'clock and you're craving, and like, and it's a struggle all over again, like you just started. Right? Is anybody out there like familiar with this? Are you going through this? Have you experienced this? Because this is exactly what I experienced, right? Because again, I'm a food addict for life, right? So I need to stay on top. So I like kicked my carbohydrates back down to 20, and it really triggered something too, because I lost another pant size in January. Early January, late December, I think it was early January, early last month, we went shopping and I got another pair of pants and I lost a size. So, you know, going back down to 20, I recovered nicely and I didn't gain any fat, right? It was more like inflammation from this carbohydrate binge to gaining inflammation and feeling not good and not having the brain power that I was. And it was just really noticeable and being moody, you know, and starting getting hangry again. So I correct it, go way back down, you know, lost the pant size in the whole process. So that was great. And it feels really good to be back in the game and really understanding, bringing this food addiction thing to the surface, because it's really prevalent in my life. And I think there's a lot of other people out there that it's prevalent in their life. And so that's why I wanted to talk first about the carbohydrate addiction, right? Because it's prominent, you know. Now, if you're the cat who, you know, was 100 pounds overweight and you just went on the ketogenic diet and you didn't have any issues and now you're, you know, at your optimal weight and you just don't crave food and you never had that issue and you can eat a cake, a piece of pie every now and again, and it doesn't bother you, you can go back right into ketosis a day later and you're good to go. Well, good for you. That's awesome for you. I wish I was you, but I'm not. And I can't do that. And that's why we talk so much about your ketogenic diet and my ketogenic diet and somebody else's ketogenic diet or low carb diet or optimal health lifestyle, you know, because I hate to say diet. It's just, you know, we're used to saying diet, but it's more of a lifestyle. Your lifestyle is completely different than mine, you know, and we're all bio-individual and we all get affected by food, especially in different ways. So I want to talk about a little bit about how do you figure all this stuff out? Because like this conversation of I'm not good enough or I'm unwanted, how I figured it out personally was journaling. Like I do a food journal now, mood journal, digestive journal, you know, things like that. But before it was a food journal and a written journal about my thoughts, my feelings, and how they interacted and what I did after or while I was having those thoughts. So if you really pay attention to your thought processes and write them down, you know, it should only take you a week to really figure out these consistent, habitual conversations that you have with yourself. And there'll probably be 3 or 4 of them. And most of them are not that good, right? Most of them are shaming yourself or saying bad things about yourself. And that's because how the brain developed, right? So let's talk a little bit about that. When we were cavemen growing up in this, you know, becoming the human being, you know, we had, you know, if we found an orange tree out there, or if we missed the orange tree, you know, like, oh, we would probably find, you know, something else down the road that we can, you know, a blueberry tree maybe, or, you know, something nice, right? So we, you know, it wasn't huge big a deal. So we didn't remember it as much, right? It's not that important. But you know what? If you see somebody get mauled by a bear or a saber-toothed tiger, like, oh, your brain automatically remembers that is dangerous, right? I can die. So the brain developing prioritizes the negative, because the negative can cause death or harm, and that's not good. So the brain over a long time of development just tends to focus on the negative more, because it's more important. You know, the stick to the brain is more important than the carrot, right? Now, this can be changed, and mainly through meditation. You can slowly change the brain thinking from more of a negative remembering to a more positive remembering. And we do this through meditation, and you can study that. And we could talk about that in many other podcasts. Well, meditation is super important in my life, but the brain in general remembers the stick. Right. And so that's why when we're kids and growing up and things, like these sticks that we get, or that we actually make up ourselves, or these sticks as messages that we get, we remember. Right. And they become habitual. And that's just how the brain developed, you know, and that's kind of what we're stuck with in modern times. And that's why these other things are so important. So if you journal, you will understand what your sticks are. You know, what these harmful conversations are that you have in your brain, and you can combat those, right? By understanding them and not believing in them. Like when they come up, you recognize that they are not true, and you don't need to react to the stick, right? You don't need to eat because you told yourself something for the millionth time, right? So that's step one. Number two is have some good healthy fat. Because when your brain is healthy fat satiated, it doesn't crave, and your brain isn't so habitually going crazy, right? When it's sugar craving, or wanting food as sugar, and it's coming up with all these messages to make you eat because it's craving it, right? So it wants the cake because it's high sugar and it feels good on sugar, or it doesn't feel bad on sugar. So the brain is throwing out all these messages that you're, you know, these habitual messages that because it wants you to eat that sugar. But that happens less and less and less and less as you pay attention to that and not react to it, and as you're fat satiated. You know, so if you are craving that and you eat a, you know, a half an avocado and four pieces of bacon and two eggs, like that really stops. You know what I mean? That like craving thing really stops. And I really believe that food in all addictions, you know, healthy, optimal food with the right nutrients can really help combat all addictions. Right? It's not, you know, it's never going to be just one thing. It's a multitude of things to combat addiction. But this is a key component, whether it's food addiction or any addiction. But focusing on the food addiction, this is extremely important to keep yourself satiated, to keep the brain satiated. And of course, as we said, is knowing, you know, what our habitual thoughts are. Now, also, we shame ourselves, right? So it's this vicious circle that we do is we, you know, we say some really terrible stuff to ourselves that aren't true. And then we eat, right, some cake or pasta or whatever we're doing. And then we shame ourselves for doing that, right? Which is this habitual circle, because then we have these shaming thoughts again, which makes us want to eat, right? And then we shame ourselves for eating again. And then we have these, you know, like this vicious habitual circle that we need to break. And how do you know if you're shaming yourself? Well, are you shaming others? Like in your conversations, do you shame others? because this is like a learned process, right? We were shamed, we learned to shame ourselves, and just by nature, we shame others, right? So it's a very circle on both aspects, and it's really going to help us to stop shaming ourselves and get out of this vicious mental circle that just makes us more and more food addicted, more and more sugar addicted, because of this mental thing that we have, right? So that's my little messages and a little bit of talk on addiction and sugar addiction especially, right? Moving on from that, we want to talk a little bit about nutrition and how it works and why, you know, like these refined carbohydrates and sugars, you know, are, you know, affecting us so much and what it does. Like we as Americans are consuming anywhere from 141 pounds to like 200 pounds of sugar, especially fructose, every year. Now, that's a ton. Now, like, how much? Like, how much is that? Like, where are we getting it from? What are we, you know, how much are we eating? Like, consider that sugar in your body, you have about 5 grams, right? You have about a teaspoon of sugar floating around in your bloodstream at all times. And, you know, and your body does different things with that. It uses it for communication, number one. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But 6 ounces of sugar, right, which doesn't seem a lot, is like 170 grams. And when you're looking at your, you know, your labels, because you have to be a label looker, right? You have to check out those labels and those ingredients and things. But look at the labels, like Coca-Cola, which we talked last week on hydration, is like poison, right? And so is Diet Coke and diet things. But like regular Coke has 39 grams of sugar. So let's talk about that. If you have a teaspoon, which is about 5 grams of sugar, or even 4, but more 5 grams of sugar, like how many times more if you drink a Coke? 5, 10, 15, 20, like it's like 9 times more sugar that is in your body at one time, right? And so you're blasting this fructose sugar right to your liver, right? And your liver's taking this huge hit. You know, it metabolically messes you up right then, right there. But consider habitually for over years and years and years what this is doing to you metabolically over a long time. And this creates insulin resistance, and this creates, you know, type 2 diabetes. And it's horrible for you, right? 3 Oreo cookies is like 13 grams of sugar. You know, protein bars have anywhere from 11 to 40 grams of sugar in it. You got to really pay attention to these protein bars and how much sugar is actually in them. You know, cereal, poison, you know, 20 to 40 grams of sugar in a bowl of cereal. It's one of the worst things you can ever put in your body. I love these yogurts, right? Low-fat, high-fruit yogurts that are just stuffed with, you know, 30 grams of sugar in them. Oh, you can get a really low one with maybe 15 grams of sugar. That's terrible. You know, bagels, 20 to 40, 30 grams of sugar in them. Apple juice, like any kind of juice is going to have 20 or more, you know, grams of sugar. Orange juice, apple juice, you know, grape juice. All this is no fiber in it. Like just really processed fructose going right to your body. And then consider like and I love Starbucks, right? And I love coffee shops and coffee. But you know, these frappuccinos, these, you know, sugar drinks with a little bit of coffee in them, you know, they're going to have over 30 grams of sugar, you know, even in a smaller one, you know, with not the extra whipped cream and, you know, chocolate. Extra chocolate, please. You know, like these are, you know, so like this is where we're consuming a ton of just regular sugar, right? And it's everywhere. If you look at ingredients in all your processed food, it's high. And it can come in a million different names, you know, cane sugar, beet sugar, corn sugar, date sugar, maple sugar. It's all just sugar, you know, corn syrup, sugar, high fructose, corn syrup, molasses,
You know, sometimes they'll try to say polysaccharides or mannitol or, you know, maltose or rice extract or golden syrup. Or, you know, there's a million names. Invert sugar, that's a good one. Dextrose, all just sugar. So they can hide it any way they want, but if it's a goofy ingredient in there, it's not good for you, right? So let's talk a little bit about fructose. Like most people back in the day, you know, if they ate just vegetables and maybe a piece of fruit a day, they're probably maybe the same apple. You're getting, you know, maybe 15 grams of sugar in a full day. You know, and that's not bad. Consider, like, if you drink three Cokes, like, you're like 120 grams of sugar a day. If you're drinking, you know, if you're giving your kids two apple juices a day, you know, that's like 60 grams of sugar a day when, you know, 15 grams is like, you know, wow, enough, you know. And that's just from regular fruit. And there's these big controversies is how much added sugar, you know, is okay. And my question is, why do you want added sugar in anything? You know, like these meat sticks, super popular. I love beef jerky. I love meat sticks. But why are they adding sugar to them? You know, why are they putting extra sugar in beef jerky? You know, it's unnecessary to do added sugar and it shouldn't be there. You know, so when we're talking about fructose and this added sugar, like 100% of it goes right to your liver, you know, where glucose, you know, a lot of it gets broken down, only like 20% kind of goes to your liver. But in glucose, your brain uses it, your muscles use it right off the bat, where fructose, like it goes right to your liver and your liver turns it into triglycerides or free fatty acids, and, you know, it stores it as fat. So when you're eating like 40 calories, or 120 calories of fructose, like 40 of those calories are going right to fat right off the bat, you know. And this is why, it's so good to like really pay attention to what you're putting in your body, because this is causing your insulin resistance. This is causing your non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This is, you know, causing you to gain weight and get type 2 diabetes. And, you know, fructose doesn't have an effect on ghrelin. Now, what is ghrelin? Ghrelin is this hormone that you have in your body that suppresses your appetite, right? Ghrelin, you know, grows and grows and grows until you're super hungry, and then you eat, and then the ghrelin goes down, and then you're satiated, and then it'll start growing again, and getting more prevalent when you get hungry again. And like fructose doesn't affect that, so it doesn't like make it go down. So when you're eating a bunch of this sugar as fructose, your ghrelin is not affected, so you're still hungry, right? And that's why you can get and stay hungry. So it's really, really important to know that, because you want to be satiated, you want to be full after you eat. And, you know, and that's why we talk about eating a good moderate protein and a healthy high fat diet. You know, it's just, it's going to affect that ghrelin, and you're not going to be as hungry very often, right? And especially when that fat really leaves your stomach last, right? So you stay satiated longer. That's why you can go, you know, a long, long time without getting hungry after you're fat adapted, right? So so moving from there, and really talking about that digestive part, I want to talk about glycation, because when you're eating like tons of carbohydrates, and it's turning into sugar, and you're eating processed food and it's turning into sugar, and you get insulin resistant, right? Which means the sugar and the insulin bind, and then it tries to take it in the cell, but the cell's receptor sites are turned off. So the insulin cannot drive that sugar into the cell very effectively, and you have insulin resistance, which means you have more and more sugar in your body, and then you're storing it as fat, or if you're not, you know, you can only do that so much at one time too, so you got extra sugar. And so what happens, what is glycation? So glycation happens when this sugar molecules stick to protein, right, and then become like sticky proteins. And they're floating around in your body, and they get into your capillaries of your eyes, right? And they clog up the capillaries of your eyes. They get into the capillaries of your heart and the capillaries of your feet, you know, and these things. And this is really what causes like these all these diabetic issues, right? So these proteins can't be used by the cell, right? Because they got the sugar sticking to them, so nothing can happen with them. So again, they just, you know, these diabetics have these huge amounts of sugar, and that's what your A1C is. You know, your A1C is this sugar measuring ability. So what it does is go into your feet, and that's why your feet, you know, start going numb, and it doesn't get the blood into it because your capillaries are all clogged with this sugary protein, this glycation. And this is why people get their feet chopped off, or this is why they go blind or have really bad eyesight. But, you know, even worse, because a lot of times before this even happens, you have a heart attack, you know, or you have a stroke because these capillaries are clogged with this glycation in your brain or in your heart, and you die from a heart-related disease due to complications of type 2 diabetes. Right. And so this is, again, AGEs, which is glycation. Yeah. So this is, you know, it all comes in full circle. And we have to pay attention to this because, it's an epidemic right now. You know, this high processed, high carbohydrate and high sugar paradigm that we live in is just really causing, you know, all this glycation and all this heart disease and all this diabetic issues. So a lot of people just don't even know that they're diabetic because they die of a heart attack before they're diagnosed, right? Because of so much glycation. So, you know, it's really something that, you know, you need to look at, and you need to have your A1Cs. And again, if you already know, then you're testing your blood sugars. And it's so important to test your blood sugars, I think, on a reoccurring basis, right? So let's talk about some of these, the carbohydrates that you do want to eat, right? And why? Well, let's state that it's extremely important to know that like fatty acids, right, are essential. Your body has to have them. They need them, right? You can't live or run your body or function without fatty acids, right? So you have to eat healthy fat. And healthy fat is the key. Healthy, healthy, healthy. Not deep fried chicken wings or deep fried French fries or, you know, like the pizza grease that drips off your pizza into the plate, right? Not that fat. But, you know, more butter, grass-fed butter preferably, meat fat, you know, olive oil, fish oil, oil from nuts, like these type of fats, these healthy, good for you fats that your body can build cells with, because every single cell in your body has fats, right? And they build them from these essential fatty acids that you get from this fat. So extremely important. Amino acids from proteins, essential. You cannot live, function optimally or function at all without essential proteins, right? Amino acids. You have to have them. Very important. Carbohydrates. Name the essential carbohydrate. That's right. No essential carbohydrates. So your body can function without them and function on a high level without them. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't benefit, right? Of course, the vitamins, enzymes, polyphenols, all these super good nutrients that we can get, fiber, from carbohydrates are extremely important, and we can utilize them, right? Spinach and kale, let's talk about that real quick. Super good, super healthy for most of us. Some people
because of their genetics or DNA or enzymes in their stomach do not do well with spinach, raw and or cooked, or one or the other. Same thing with kale. Some people, kale is not digestible. It doesn't do a good job digesting, whether it's cooked or raw, and it produces a you know some small amounts of toxic chemical that harms the gut bacteria, right? So some people don't do so good with that. But other people, they do good. How do you know? Well, test your digestion. Eat just the kale and see how your digestion goes. You know, put the kale in your mouth, or actually take your blood pressure, your pulse, not your blood pressure, but your pulse for a full minute. Chew up some kale and hold it in your mouth. 15 seconds later, test again and see if your blood, your heart rate goes up. See if you're having a reaction. You know, is it going up 10 points or more? Then your body's like saying, hey, maybe this stuff isn't so good for me. My body doesn't like it. And it's causing a reaction because your, you know, innate intelligence of your body kind of knows, right? So try that out. But for a lot of people, like, these are like good, healthy vitamins, nutrients, especially if they're organic, if they're, you know, commercial and coming from a huge farm that's just dumping garbage on them, like, you know, Roundup. Probably not so good for you, you know, and certainly bad for your bacteria. Your Roundup is killing all your gut bacteria because it's anti everything, right? So, you know, these are good leafy green vegetables. Somehow we learn to digest a lot of them, right? We have plenty of lettuces out there, and I think it's because when we were, before we were still living in trees. You know, when we were 3 foot tall and kind of monkey like or what have you, and we learned to eat some leaves, right? And our digestion was good on that. We also ran down the tree and snuck up on the lions, and when they were sleeping, we stole the leg or whatever of the animal and, you know, went and hid and scarfed on that. You know, we were really eating a lot of fat early in our human history. Before we were even like Homo sapiens, right? When we were still developing, we were scavenging fat and meat. And that's why we have gallbladders. You know, if we weren't eating fat for, you know, a million years, we would have never developed a gallbladder. And we wouldn't have that right now. So it's extremely important. Because what does the gallbladder do? Is it holds bile, and bile breaks down fat, right? And actually bile is made from fat. So it's this circle too. So, we learn to eat some leaves, and, let's talk about some other vegetables like, cauliflower and broccoli and asparagus and interesting. I love talking about these because they have plenty of nutrients and good fiber in them, and they're actually delicious. So these are the type of vegetables that you're going to want to eat if you're eating. And again, they're low glycemic, very low carb, more fiber, more vitamins. And you want to make sure you can digest them. You know, if you can't digest them, then stop eating them. Or fix your digestion, which is going to be more of the problem, right? And we've had plenty of podcasts on digestion and how to go about that. And if you need help with that, then, you know, we can do that too. So these non-glycemic vegetables, which is interesting, right? Because a lot of these vegetables, you think that we ate a lot of these vegetables is when we were growing up to becoming human beings, you know, when we were 4 foot tall and living in trees or just, you know, living in the ground or finding caves. You know, we thought we would be like walking along and, hey, there's some broccoli. We're going to eat, you know, munch on this broccoli, or, hey, there's some cabbage. Let's get this head of cabbage and we'll just eat it, you know, raw or whatever. Like, these vegetables are modern vegetables, you know, cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower, you know, and Brussels sprouts and all these delicious vegetables that we love and have did not exist back then. You know, this is a modern, these are modern vegetables that after agriculture started, we manipulated. Actually, most of them come, there's like 7 or 8 different vegetables that come from one vegetable. So we bred this one vegetable into like 8, 9 different things. And they're all edible and they're all delicious, but they're all exactly from the same original vegetable. So not so prominent, right? And it wasn't that available. So,
you know, these are great non-glycemic vegetables that we can consume. Again, we like the nutrients from it. We like the things that it can do from our into our body, as long as they're digestible and as long as our body is good to digest them. And then, and again, you can test yourself to find out what you think. Eat just broccoli and see how you digest it. Do your pulse test on it and find out if your body's reacting nicely to these individual vegetables. I think very important. So another step would be the starchy vegetables. So again, coming from the reversing type 2 diabetes, do not eat the white potato, right? Do not eat the rutabaga. Right? Do not eat these star carrots. Stay away from carrots, guys. I know they're delicious and they're super healthy and they're bright and orange and beta carotene and blah, 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 blah. They're full of sugar and they're going to spike your insulin and they're going to spike your sugars and you're going to have an issue, right? Stay away from them for now if you're getting just getting started, especially. If you have, you know, if you've lowered your blood sugars to 5.0 and you're living life and you want to put some, you know, 3 shredded carrots in your borscht, you know, go ahead. Great. It's, I totally salute you for that. But if you're, you know, have a 8.6 A1C and you're just getting started here, I just, please stay away from the carrots, cooked or uncooked, It doesn't matter. Stay away from those starchy vegetables. The only thing that I would stay, you know, the only really starchy, sugary vegetable at first that I would even consider would be beets. And again, I've had this conversation a lot because the beets are going to support, you know, this beet juice, beet powder, beets in general are going to support your liver, gallbladder, right? And most of us, we've been on low fat, high carbohydrate diets for so long, our liver, gallbladder isn't functioning at a high ability. So we need to, you know, support that. And beets are a great source of nutrients that just help our liver, gallbladder, right? So I would suggest that on a limited basis, but to get those nutrients in our body with food before supplements, right? Let's do that, right? But besides that, you know, even the sweet potato isn't going to be that good for you. Now, if you need to taper down your carbohydrates slowly, like eat your carbohydrates in the evening and a half a sweet potato or a quarter sweet potato in the evening is fine as you're lowering your carbohydrates slowly, because, you know, just going cold turkey is just going to freak you out and be emotionally, mentally, and physically like painful and disturbing. I get that, and that's how I coach. Like, let's ease it down, and carbohydrates at night are going to be less problematic. Your brain's going to use them, you know, better in the evening. And if you try to have them for breakfast, if you have a sweet potato for breakfast or some oatmeal or, you know, whatever you're think is healthy in the morning, you're just going to wreck it, because then your blood sugar spikes and then it drops and then you crave more sugar, right? You crave more carbohydrates. So stay away from them in the morning, especially, and save them for the evening meal if you're trying to taper down, right? And that sweet potato, half a sweet potato in the evening, you know, is going to be a catalyst to getting you off the carbs. But again, if you've been doing this for a little bit and you're still working on it, stay away from those, all those starchy vegetables, right? Taro, things like that. You know, you don't want to eat, you don't want to put those in your body, right? So those are definitely a no-no, so stay away from those. And again, go back to the spinach, eat that. So again, of course, like starch is just turning into sugar in your body, and metabolically it's going to impact your pancreas, it's going to impact your liver, and your blood sugar. So reviewing that. So on to processed foods, of course, and these fast foods, you know, and I talked a little bit about this. You know, I go to Five Guys and I get the lettuce wrap with a burger, because there's no like goofy oils added and it's actually real meat there. It's 100% ground beef, and yeah, it's not grass fed, but every now and again, you just don't want to cook and you want a fast food or you want something like that. Five Guys, You know, if there's some other burger places near you, walk in and investigate them. Like, hey, how are you making this? Is this, you know, 100% grass fed? You know, what's the calorie count on it? What's the fat count? Is it 80-20? Is it, you know, 90%, you know, beef and 10% fat? Like, you know, do you add any oils to your flat top? Are you cooking on the grill? You know, what are your seasonings you're putting in them? Or do they have MSG in them? Like, these questions are okay to ask. Walk in and check it out and find out, because sometimes you just don't want to cook, right? And you want a healthy, sometimes you just want to take the family out to eat. You know, ask your pho restaurant, you know, how are you making your pork broth for your pho? Are you putting MSG in it? You know, are you, you know, all the vegetables fresh? Where are you getting the meat? Like, these questions are okay, you know, and sometimes you just want that. I love the pho restaurant across the street from us. It's right up the road and super healthy, no MSG, you know, some good healthy vegetables, some, you know, awesome different kinds of meats. And it's super filling and I love it. You just get the no noodles, extra like bean sprouts, right? And extra meat. So super good. So again, you know, I do the Five Guys lettuce with mushrooms and onions and tomato and lettuce. And then, you know, I got the burger and hey, I get bacon and it's super yummy and super awesome. So, you know, don't feel like this should be a restrictive, you know, can't have anything I love or, you know, whatever. Because you can, you know, and you just need to be present, pay attention and do, ask the right questions. Right. So, you know, whole real foods, like don't start making like keto breads and keto cookies and things like that right off the bat. Like, you know, let's just focus on eating whole real food, because again, these keto cookies and keto breads, and stuff, it's a slippery slope. I'm a carb addict. And if you are too, if I've done it, like I've made keto bread and guess what? I eat it all. You know, because it's that mental, like, it's made from egg, probably, and some, you know, different things, but not very low carbohydrate, but it's still, for some reason, maybe the texture or whatever makes me crave other bread or just eat the whole thing and overeat. So it's a slippery slope and you got to pay attention to it. So this was the Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast on carbohydrates and I think food addiction, you know, and carbohydrate addiction. Food addiction, silly, right? It's really sugar and carbohydrate addiction and what it does to the brain. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. And again, please pass on this information to many others if they can use it, help it. And if you need to contact me, www.nutritionmountainman.com. Or you can get me at Jeffrey at nutritionmountainman.com. My Instagram page is M-Man Nutrition. I'm on Facebook under Mountain Man Nutrition. Or, you know, on this podcast, you can get me anywhere as well. So if you have any questions, please let me know. If you have any comments, please let me know. I love to hear from you. And if you need any help, let me know too. I'm definitely here to help you reverse your type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance. Also want to tell you, if you're in Denver, I got some cooking classes coming up and soon. And I'll be promoting those on Instagram and be telling you about them at the end of February. I got 3 of them coming up and towards the end of February. So we'll start letting you know the exact dates and where on upcoming Mountain Man Nutrition Podcasts. Thanks for listening and have a great day and good wishes to you.